Like to start with a song, and it's going to be number 4 on your hymn sheet, because it's about the good news, Christ, the Savior of sinners, and that's what we're going to speak about tonight. So if a brother would raise the tune to number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners, Christ is the Savior for me.
In that second verse, there's a little phrase that says, happy and justified free. Happy. I was in a store the other day where they sell all these plaques and have little sayings and stuff on them. And I was struck by one that said, it's never too late to be forever happy. No, that's the gospel. Because the good news is, it's never too late to be saved. It's never too late to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I thought that's most appropriate. Expression to have. So tonight, we're going to have a little bit different gospel, because I'm not going to give the gospel. I'm going to ask my brother Chuy Garza to give the gospel tonight, and his native language is Spanish, and he's going to be using his Spanish Bible, and when he refers to scripture verses, I'll read them in English for the rest of us. I'm sure some of you in here wouldn't have any problem with the Spanish, and in doing that, I think it'll make things kind of go smoothly for us. So I'm going to ask for the Lord's help for our brother Chuy and for each one of you out there that you might have ears to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. Three words I see in this verse that I would like to say a little bit about each one. The first one is wages. Everybody who has a job, they get paid, they go to work. And usually in many places, you have a time card. You go in and they have a clock in the wall. You put your time sheet there and it tells you what time you enter. And then at the end of the day, you go back and you punch again. And it reads your time, how many hours you work, so you can get paid. At the end of the week, they have maybe another employee that is in charge of the bookkeeping. And they want to make sure you get paid fairly. They don't want to pay you less than what you work, and they don't want to pay you more than what you work. So in this verse, it says that it's wages for sin. So that's one of the words. The second one is sin. We're going to make sure everybody understands what sin means. I went back and looked in the original, on the scriptures, what sin means. And it means the mark. So in other words, is in this case, is missing the standards of the perfection established by God. So every single person who has lived in this planet, with the exception of one, has missed the mark. We miss the mark from the first day that we are born all the way until we leave this world. It don't matter if you was born on a Christian family. Maybe you are the second, third, fourth generation of a Christian family. Everybody has missed their mark. Everybody's a sinner. The other word is gift. Gift is the opposition of wages. For you to get paid, you have to work. To get a gift doesn't cost you anything. Sometimes it comes to my mind when I graduated from school, my dad gave me a gift. Back then was in 1995. The minimum wage, if I'm not wrong, was $4.25. My dad was a framer, he built houses, and he got paid minimum wage in South Texas. We live in Mexico, in Reynosa, so we was a family of nine. I was not there, I went out to school in Houston. But it was a family of seven, and it was hard for a family to be able to make it with $4.25 an hour. It's very little money. My dad made a sacrifice, and he saved because he wanted to give me a gift. That gift was worth maybe like 2 weeks of work. Hard work in the sun. I went to work with him a couple of times and really was very hard to do carpentry work. I know some brothers here maybe know that trade. And it's not easy. So he works a couple of weeks, maybe close to 3 weeks, to give me that gift. So it was a great sacrifice. God did a great sacrifice to provide for us a gift. He's not going to force us to get this gift, but the invitation is out today. If we read in Romans 3, would like to see what the scripture says about our position in front of God. Romans 3, chapter, verse 9 to 12. Chapter 3, verse 9 to 12.
Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable.
There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
So this is the testimony of God for human race. Everybody is a servant. It's not even one person. Maybe it's children here. They grow up in a Christian family. The scripture says that everybody is a sinner. So it don't matter if you grow up in a Christian home, you got a nature inside of you. They always miss the mark. They cannot get to the standard of God. So the scripture says that everybody is a sinner. So it's very important for us to understand that. The gospel, the sacrifice that Jesus did in the cross will not be attractive to us if we don't recognize that we are sinners. So the scripture says that everybody is a sinner. In Romans 3:23.
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
So we cannot see each other and say, I'm better. I'm better than this other person. Because the scripture says that everybody have sinned. Nobody is better than other persons. On God's eyes, we all are the same. We sinners. Now, it's going to be a time, if you leave this world without fixing this situation, and you don't come to God and fix this problem that you have of sin in your life, the scripture says, if you leave this world, that you will live again. God is going to give you a body. You're going to be in front of God, and it's going to be a second death. The scripture talks about a second death. And it's going to be a place where God is going to open the books. If you live 10 years, if you live 20 years, 30 years, everything that you have done is written down in some books in heaven. And God is going to bring those books and everything that you have done against God. It's going to be in there. If we go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11.
Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Can you read all the way to verse 15, brother? I'm sorry.
Continuing on with verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So, if you leave this world without fixing your problem of sin, God is going to resurrect you one day. He's going to give you a body. You're going to be in front of Him. He says, the one that is sitting at the throne is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be there as a judge. And there will be some books that will be open. And everybody who goes there is going to be judged according to what is in those books. Now, let me give you an example of a judge. Because I was talking to a person the other day. And this person was thinking that he can go to heaven if he does some good things. He said, God is going to see that I don't kill. I'm a hard worker. I provide for my family. I don't steal. Yes, I sin. Sometimes I have some bad thinking. I get mad. I'm not maybe good with my wife. But God is going to see the good things, and He's going to save me. And I give him this example. I say, let's say you live on a small town. Everybody knows everybody. You know the judge of the town. You know the chief of police, the chief of the fire department. You guys get together and help the town to be clean, to do some fundraisers for the fire department. And one day, you are driving, and you have to answer the phone, or you have to return a text. And you make a mistake, and you crash your car with another car. And they take you to court, and you tell the judge, but look everything that I do every week. I help this town. I help the fire department. I do some fundraisers. What the judge is going to say? You're not here for your good things. You are here for what you did wrong. And you have to pay. That's justice. So God is not going to judge your good deeds. God is going to judge the sin, that everything that you did that missed the mark. Now, if you pay attention over here, it says that after everybody comes in front of this great white throne, they will be cast to the lake of fire. I went and looked what the cast word means because I don't use it. I don't know if you guys use it, but I don't use it, so it's a little bit hard for me. And this is what I found. Throw something forcefully or full of force in a specified direction. Here is God, which is full of force. I wonder how big is the force of God. And he's going to throw this person in a specific direction, the lake of fire. That's not a place that you want, that you don't want that to happen to you. It's going to be terrible. The whole eternity, you cannot get out of there. You're going to be tormented day and night forever. Forever. And nobody in this room is free of sin. Every single one of us are sinners. But you have to think about yourself today. Don't think about somebody that you know that says that is a Christian and maybe has a bad testimony. Think about yourself. You need to fix this situation. Now, God didn't create the lake of fire for you and for me. He created for Satan and for the fallen angels. So God doesn't want you to go there. He don't want you to go there. He loves you so much that he don't want you to go there. And maybe some of you guys think, if God is love, why he just don't forget everybody? Why he don't take everybody to heaven? If God is love. And that's true. God can take everybody to heaven. But it's a problem. God is just. And he cannot pass not even one small sin that was committed in this planet. From the Adam all the way to the last person. He has to judge every single sin. Because if he don't do it, he would not be a just judge. So his perfection, he has to judge sin. Now, what is the plan of God? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. God loves you. And he don't want you to go there. He didn't create a place for you and for me. So he loves you. And this is the true love. Many people talk about love. Here in the scripture, we want to read what is the true love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
In Spanish, my Bible says, in this love consists. In this love consists. Not that we love God, but he loves us. And how he showed that he loves us? He sent his only begotten Son to take our place, to be a substitute. He don't want you to go to the lake of fire, where you're gonna be separate from God forever and ever. So what he did, he sent his son to take your place in the cross. Now, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's not a man like us. He was a man, 100% man, but he didn't have no sin. I cannot die for nobody. No brother here can die for anybody. If I die, I would die for my own sins. But I cannot die for nobody. So the only one that qualifies to die for you and for me, it has to be somebody who didn't have no sin. So if we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5,
and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. Excuse me. In him is no sin.
So God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world. And he lived on this world with no sin, with a perfect, he never missed the mark. He always do God's will all the time. He never did nothing in his own will. He was 100% opposite than us. So he was the only one that qualified to die for us, to take our place. Now if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21.
Second Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
You see, this is the plan. This is the good news that God got today for you and for me. He don't want to send you to the lake of fire where you have to pay, you get your paycheck for all your life. All your sins that you commit all your life. He don't want you to get that big check for the whole eternity in the lake of fire. So what he did, he sent his son, and he take our place. And over here says in the verse that we read, the one that who knew no sin was made sin for us. How that happened? If he was without no sin, how did God make him... I don't want to say the wrong word. How it says in the English version? He was made... Can you read it again, brother? 5:21. I just don't want to make a mistake on the translation.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So how he was made sin for us? How did he was made sin for us? Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 34.
Mark 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
You see, God cannot have no communion with sin. So, the lake of fire is a place where you will be away from God the whole eternity, separate from God forever. Now, Jesus in the cross, he was made sin for you. And what happened? God cannot see no sin. So in the cross, God separated from his son, Jesus Christ. The communion, the perfect communion that Jesus had every day with the Father when he lived here in earth. Every day, he didn't do nothing. in his own accord. He always was in prayer, in perfect communion with God the Father. But what happened in the cross? In the cross was taken your place and my place. So what God did, he broke the communion with his Son Jesus Christ in the cross. So Jesus was separate in the cross, so you don't have to be separate forever in the lake of fire. That's love. We can see the love of Jesus there. He was willing to sacrifice his communion with God the Father, so you don't have to be separate for the whole eternity in the lake of fire. If we go to John chapter 5, so now what God wants to tell us, what we need to be safe. Okay, he already provide a way to be safe. He already sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die in your place. So what you have to do? What is your part? What do you have to do today to be safe? So you don't have to go to the great white throne and they give you the wages of all your sin. And you'll be cast to the lake of fire with great force. What do you have to do? What is your obligation? If you never hear this before, pay attention. What is your obligation? What do you have to do? God is saying that he wants to give you a gift. So you don't have to do nothing. You have to accept the gift that God is giving you. It's for free. If we read in John 5, verse 24.
John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
So those who hear his word and believe the one that sent him, that is the message that God the Father has, that is that he sent his only beloved Son to die in your place in the cross. If you believe, he says that he give you eternal life. And is no more condemnation. That's the gift that God wants to give you today. He already provided somebody who suffered in your place. Somebody who already paid the consequences of sin. So you don't have to pay the consequences of sin for the whole eternity. So that's the gift that God wants to give you. Many people doesn't want to accept that gift. How you think somebody can feel if you have a gift that you want to give to somebody, that person doesn't want to take it? Many people hear the gospel and hear this message more than one time in their life. And they will come to Jesus one day. He's not going to be the Savior. He's not going to be the Lamb of God. He's going to be a judge. And it's not going to be another chance. They reject the gift. Now they have to pay the consequences of sin. And what is going to happen? It's going to be like this bottle. Right now you have maybe your own will. This bottle doesn't have his own will. I can do whatever I want with this bottle. I can move it anywhere I want. If you reject the gift of God today, you will be in front of the great white throne. And you're going to be like this bottle. The books will be open. And it's going to be every time you punch it, that time sheet. Every time you sin, it's going to be there. And after they read everything, you will be cast with a great force to the lake of fire. Why? Because you reject the gift that God wanted to give you. So, Don't go today. Don't go to your house if you haven't accepted Christ. Don't leave this place without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's a gift. It's nothing that you can do to buy this gift. You can be the best daughter, the best son, the best father, the best husband. Nothing of that is going to save you. God is not going to judge you for your good deeds. The wages of sin is death, eternal death in the lake of fire, separated from God for the whole eternity. But He wants to give you eternal life, not to live in the lake of fire. It's going to be terrible, the lake of fire. The devil is going to be there, all the demons, a lot of people that refuse to believe in Christ. Some people are was so good people, they didn't want nothing with Jesus. And some people that is very full of evil is going to be there. So it's going to be terrible. And He says there is going to be torment. There will be torment day and night forever and ever. How bad or how expensive is the price of sin? That is going to take the whole eternity for you to pay what you did. And if we want to see how big is sin, we just have to see the cross. The God the Son had to become a man, live in this world, and die in the cross. Nobody else can take that place. He was the only one that qualifies to be in the cross. God, Emmanuel, God with us, had to die for you. How big is sin? So it's now any other way. They can tell you, the enemy can tell you that you had to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You had to do a lot of good things. That's not true. You cannot buy salvation with nothing. It's a gift. It's for free. But you have to believe. You have to recognize in front of God that you are a sinner. That you can do nothing to save yourself. And if you die today, you will go to hell. And then you're going to resurrect. And you will be thrown with great force to the lake of fire. And it's a point of no return. After you die, if you die today, it's a point of no return. We, even if we pray and ask God to save you, after you're dead, that's it. It's over. It's not going to be a second chance. So don't leave this room without recognizing that you're a sinner and accept the gift. The only way is that Jesus died for you in the cross. That's the only way. There's no other way that you can be saved. By faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we have the same problem than Adam and Eve. God tell Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of good and evil. Because you will surely die. What Satan did, he said, you will not die. So now you have a problem. You believe God? Or you believe the enemy, Satan. And we know the story. They didn't believe God. So what are you going to do today? You're going to believe God? That you want to come to God and ask for forgiveness? He's going to forgive you. Because He already provided a way to forgive you. His love, He wants to forgive you. And what it wasn't the way, He already provided. His Son died so He can get close to you and save you. Without the death of Jesus in the cross, it was impossible for God to save us. Because God is perfect. He cannot get close to sin. Without sharing of blood is no forgiveness of sin. It was necessary that Jesus came and died in your place and shed His blood so you don't have to die eternally. So this is the invitation for you. The young people, you grow up in a Christian home. If you're 5 years old, 10 years old, you need to make a decision. Your dad cannot make it for you. Your mom cannot make it for you. You have to make your own decision. You have to come to God and accept Jesus as the only way of salvation. Don't put your faith in you. Don't put your faith in your parents. Don't put your faith in any kind of religion. The only way that you can be saved is through the faith on Jesus Christ. And the verse that we just read, it says that he gives you eternal life. There's another verse that I want to read in chapter 6. Verse 47. If today you accept Christ, it's going to be a big change in your life. And you will receive something that is going to last forever. You will go different today. John chapter 6, verse 47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
So it says that you will have, the scripture doesn't say if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. It doesn't say that in the scripture. It says if you believe in Jesus, you have. Now you will have. You have. Now you have eternal life. So if today you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, today you have eternal life. You don't have to die, leave this world to know that you have eternal life. You know why? God accepts the sacrifice of Jesus. And this is the word of God. This is not my word. It's the word of God. And God doesn't lie. He says that you have eternal life. It's another part of the scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews. It's a verse that I really like in Hebrews chapter 10. We was born sinners, and we will die sinners. Or if the Lord comes today, we're not going to die sinners. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to be transformed. And there's not going to be no more sin in heaven. But look what the scripture says. In chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10.
Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
In verse 14, brother.
Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
So if you accept Christ today with one sacrifice, he has sanctified you. By the death of Jesus in the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus did in the cross, he sanctified you. And if you are sanctified, that means if you are a believer, if you have believed, if today you believe, you know how God sees you? Perfect. Forever. So from today, you can leave this room, and the way God sees you, he don't see you as a sinner anymore. He sees you as his son and perfect forever. So that's the gift. Are you going to accept the gift that God is giving you today, that he's offering you to take? It costs him a lot, his son. It was something big. He sent his only begotten son to this world to die for you and for me. That was a great cause. He experimented the death. He died for 3 days, was in the tomb, and he resurrected. And now he is on the right hand of God. That's a great price. The sacrifice that my dad did is nothing. This is what God did is infinity. The difference is it doesn't have any comparison. That he had to separate his communion with his son in the cross because he was taking our place. He broke his communion with his son, Jesus Christ.